to chapter 3 in lesson 12 this evening on the seven baptisms. You say that in most churches and they kind of look at you like you have four heads. What do you mean seven baptisms? And they don't understand the doctrine at all, and so we're going to cover that tonight, and in so doing it should help you in rightly dividing the scriptures and understanding the difference between the different baptisms and what they're all about. We'll start here in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. And in those days came John the Baptist. Now, you know why they called him John the Baptist? All right, because he baptized, not because he was a member of the First Baptist Church. You know, a lot of Baptists think they can take their lineage back to John the Baptist. That's nonsense. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey, grasshopper sandwiches. And they then went out to him, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Now we see baptism here and that word showing up in the Bible, and this is the first time that you'll see that word baptized show up in your Bible. And it's connected with John the Baptist, and what he was doing is preparing the nation of Israel to receive their Messiah. But notice what it says, keep reading there in verse 7, "When he went out, some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" What a thing to call people. Generation of vipers? Calling their parents snakes. "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree which bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now we've got three baptisms. We've got the baptism in water by John, and we've got Jesus Christ bringing two baptisms, a baptism in fire and a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people get messed up and they think that that's the same thing. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is baptism in fire. No, it isn't. Believe me, you do not want to be submersed in fire. You don't want that. Look what he says in verse 12. "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner," there's one group, "but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire," there's the other group. One's baptized in the Holy Ghost, the other's baptized in fire. Jesus Christ baptizes every single person that comes into the world. Everybody has to be baptized by Jesus Christ. You either get baptized in the Holy Ghost, or you get baptized in fire. That's it. Now, when we're looking at this thing concerning the seven baptisms, we're going to go through these one at a time, and take a look at them, and rightly divide them, and hopefully that'll give you a better understanding. Start in 1 Peter chapter 3. A lot of confusion on this subject of baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3. Some people think water baptism is not necessary. Some people think you can't get saved without being baptized. Some people think you have to get baptized before you get saved to get saved. Some people think you can be baptized by getting sprinkled. All kinds of confusion on this issue of baptism. Now look here in 1 Peter chapter 3. And here's the first baptism in the Bible. But it's not mentioned as a baptism until over here in 1 Peter chapter 3. So look here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing. How long was that? 120 years. Right? While the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. What saved those eight souls? Okay. Is it that the water saved them, or that they were saved from going in the water? So saved by water in the sense of saved is not going in the water. So the first people we ever see being saved by water didn't get wet. And all the ones that got wet were preached to by Jesus Christ in prison in hell. That's what he's talking about there. That's when Jesus went to hell and he preached to them. He preached to the spirits in prison, see? Verse 21. The like figure whereunto, okay, so Noah's ark in that situation is a like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. All right. Is baptism what saves us, or is baptism a like figure of our salvation? See? I was listening to E.C. Moore, that hyper-dispensationalist, Sunday morning, and he's getting all on that thing about baptism and saying that Christians don't need to be baptized. And that's you're not rightly dividing the scriptures, because Peter said that baptism doth also now save us. Now, what do you think about somebody when they have to prove a doctrine and only can quote half a verse? Somebody's not being honest. It didn't say that baptism saves us. Why didn't he quote the whole verse? Because he's dishonest. That's why. It says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not, he's explaining it, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. All right? Then can baptism take away the filth of your flesh? Can it take away your sins? No. But the answer of a good conscience toward God. Well, it can do that. So, what is the like figure? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So, here's Noah and his family getting in a boat. They get in this boat. Who closed the door and sealed it? Okay. So they were sealed until the day of redemption. They were safe in the ark. They had to get in. Are you in Christ? All right. And then what happened is God destroyed the world with a flood, and only eight people didn't get wet. And those were the eight people that were saved. So why would somebody think that by getting wet you could get saved? From that verse. It's not what it's talking about at all. The only thing baptism is a figure of your salvation. It's nothing other than that. And all who did get baptized died. So, this idea of water baptism, you got to be careful with that. There are seven different baptisms in the Bible, and most of them have nothing at all to do with getting wet in water. The second time a baptism occurs in the Bible, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it has to do with Moses and the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, we'll begin in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Now what does verse 2 say? All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What was the purpose of that? Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world, ends of the world are come. All right, so we can learn something from this. With Moses and the children of Israel going through the Red Sea, God dividing the Red Sea, the Bible says it's congealed on either side, and you have over a million people going through that area right there. First of all, let me say this, it was not the Sea of Reeds, as these scholars like to say. It would have been hard for Pharaoh and all his army to drown in a swamp. So, you know, that's, you have to be able to think above the third grade education, which is difficult for most Bible scholars. Amen. But it's real simple. Moses and the children of Israel go through the Red Sea. There is a cloud over the top of them. There is water on each side of them. And as they go through, God says they were baptized. Okay. That was their baptism. Isn't that what he called it? What does verse 2 say? And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All right. How wet did they get? Now, doesn't the Bible say they went through on dry ground? Okay. Were the waters congealed on either side? There was a cloud over them? But how wet did they get? Then why would someone think that water can save you? See? They don't understand the first thing about baptism. That's not what this is about. It's about the fact that they were submersed in that thing, and when they came through on the other side, a different people. And that's the idea. They came through on dry ground into the wilderness. If you'll ever study that thing out, it's very interesting. But if you'll look at a geographical, topographical map of that land and where Israel was, where Joseph had to come down there into Egypt, in the area of the Rhythm and all that, and they're there for 400 some years, and then they come back up, and the path that they go, and then they go through that Red Sea, and they come over into the past Mount Sinai area, right there, right? Now, when you're doing that, if you'll take that thing, and if you'll see, you know what you've got there? You've got a picture of a womb and a birth. That's what you've got. It's wild. I'm telling you. Take a look at it sometime. It'll freak you out. But that's what happened there. God sent a seed down in there. And when that thing came out, a nation was born. That's what's going on. It's a picture of our salvation. It's a picture of being born again. What did God do? Didn't he take you out of Egypt? Well, weren't you baptized when you were saved? I didn't say in water. Some people, they have this thing, they think they see the word baptism, and they see the word water, and they can't, you know, they're stuck. They can't get those things apart. There's all kinds of baptisms where it's not water, see? When you got saved, you were baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hence, the Red Sea. See? You went through the Red Sea. You came over on the other side. And now you're a pilgrim. See? On a journey to the Promised Land. That's the picture. That's what that's all about. All right. The next one we're going to look at here is the baptism of repentance. We looked at that initially there in Matthew 3. Look at it again in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. beginning in verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets. Now, King James Bible is the only one that gets that verse right. All the other ones lie. They all lie. You know what they say? As it is written in the prophet Isaiah. That's what they all say. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah. But nothing could be further from the truth, because not all of what he's saying there is found in Isaiah. Some of that's found in Malachi. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. It's not found in Isaiah, that's found in Malachi. And all the new Bibles say, as it is written in Isaiah, or as saith the prophet Isaiah. So that God can show you that they're liars. That's why. Yeah. Right. You understand? It's not just one prophet that thing's found in. It's found in more than one prophet that he's quoting there. Well, because part of it's found in Isaiah, but part of it's found in Malachi. So the correct way to say that is, as it is written in the prophets. No lie. Would God ever lie? All right. Then could these new Bibles be the Word of God if they say, as it's written in Isaiah, when it's not in Isaiah? See? So just to show you, they're liars. That's all. Every single one of the new versions has lies in it. Not just contradictions, not just taking verses out, not just taking the blood of Christ out, not just denying the deity of Christ, not just saying that Jesus is the devil and all the rest of it, just out and out lies like that right there. You can prove that in a court of law to be an out and out lie, which shows you it's not of God, it's not of the Holy Spirit. It can't be. Verse 2, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. All right, where's John at? He's in Jerusalem. This is a Jewish thing. And John is telling that nation of Israel to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. That's the message. That's the message. Right? Okay. And all of Israel, if they would do that, would be prepared to receive the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he shows up. Did all of Israel get baptized by John? Who specifically did not get baptized by John? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. They refused to be baptized by John. See? That's why when they come to Jesus Christ and ask him a question one time, he says, I'm going to ask you one question first. Because they ask him what his authority is for what he's doing. He says, I'll answer you, but you answer me one question first. The baptism of God, or the baptism of John, was it of God or of men? And they feared the people, because all the people took John to be a prophet. So if they had said, well, we believe it was of God, well, then they would have been condemned for not getting baptized from him. But if they said that it was just a man, then all the people would have stoned them. So they said, well, we can't answer you. And he says, well, I ain't answering you then, buddy. See you later. They got messed up every step along the way. Now, here's an important thing. What is he preaching? He's preaching baptism, repentance, for the remission of sins. You got that? That's the doctrine and the message of John the Baptist, strictly Jewish, for the nation of Israel. Now, if you would, please look with me in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Peter is preaching the day of Pentecost. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Who's he preaching to? Israel, right? That God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? No, it doesn't say that, does it? Then why do so many people read it that way? There's nothing there of God, I'm asking how to get saved there. Then why do all the major Christian universities use Acts 2:38 as a verse for how to get saved? I'll tell you why. To get you back under Rome and baptismal regeneration. That's what's going on. Now look at that thing, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Does that sound familiar? What did John preach? The same thing. It's a national thing. You understand? It's for the nation of Israel to accept and receive their Messiah. So this time they have to do it in the name of Jesus Christ, confessing that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. See? And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and your children, to all those that are far off, even as many the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from going to hell. No. From an untoward generation. See? From those that have rejected the Messiah. Separate yourself from them. Don't have anything to do with them. Why? Because He might come back soon. You need to be ready to receive your Messiah. That's the message. That had nothing to do about salvation there. How could they be talking about the gospel there when the gospel was revealed to Paul? And Paul doesn't even get saved until Acts chapter 9. People have a problem with the English language, don't they? Well, when it comes to a Bible, they do. Now, the next one you have is the baptism of sin on Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 12. Did Jesus Christ get baptized in water? He sure did. Was that so that he could get saved? Isn't that a strange thing? Why did Jesus Christ get baptized in water? He said to fulfill all righteousness. Because it's right. Did he need to do it to be saved? No. Should Christians get baptized? Why? To get saved? No. The same reason Jesus Christ did. Because it's the right thing to do. That's all. And it's preparing you to live a ministry for Jesus Christ, just as Jesus Christ did it to in preparation for his earthly ministry. Okay? He said to fulfill all righteousness. Look there in Luke chapter 12. Y'all got it? Everybody has it but me? I'm busy talking instead of turning here. Look in verse 49. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I strengthened till it be accomplished? Well, he'd already been baptized in water. He'd already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So what is he talking about when he says that he has a baptism to be baptized with? Huh? No. Our sins. He is baptized in our sins. Look in Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and after that we'll look in Psalm 69. Isaiah 53, verse 1, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions." How could he be wounded for our transgressions? Unless our transgressions were poured out upon him. When Jesus Christ is being punished, it's you and your sins that are being punished. You put them there. I put him there. He's going through what he's going through on that cross to pay for sins by allowing those sins to be put upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 10, "Please the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." What happened to Jesus Christ's soul? It was made an offering for sin. "When thou make his soul offering for sin, he shall die." No. Resurrection. "He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Okay? He's taken that sin upon himself. Look in Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Verse 9. "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." That's quoted when he goes in there and starts with that whip in the temple and getting all those that are trying to make a profit over the sacrifices and everything, and beats them out. "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee," our sins, "are fallen upon me." He became our sin bearer. He was baptized in our sins, taken upon himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So that is a baptism that only Jesus Christ is baptized with. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus Christ became sin. And God poured the sins of the world upon his only begotten Son, his only beloved Son, allowed all those sins to be poured upon him in that baptism so that he could pay the price and pay the penalty for our sins on the cross of Calvary. That's the purpose of that baptism. All right, the next baptism is the baptism in the Spirit, or the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Jesus Christ only came to give two baptisms, right? How many people did Jesus Christ baptize in water during his earthly ministry? Huh? None? Why not? See, exactly. The Bible makes it very clear. Jesus never baptized anybody. His disciples did. But he never baptized one person in water. Because he would never want you to get confused and to think that water baptism was what you needed to be saved. He made it real plain what baptism he came to bring. Fire or the Holy Ghost. See? And when you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're baptized in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Y'all got it? Look there in verse 13. For by one Spirit, capital S, are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The second that you believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit took you and put you under the blood of Christ and brought you into Himself. And you became one with Christ. You are placed in His body through that baptism. That's what took place when you were baptized in the Spirit. I heard a story one time, some of the guys from Bible school, some charismatic had a sign up out on the road, and it said, when I got saved, or when I got the Holy Ghost, I spake in tongues. How about you? And a couple of the Bible students, or some rowdy ones at the time, they went over there one night and they crossed it out and they painted over it and said, when I got the Holy Ghost, I got eternal life. How about you? Yeah, a little difference. What did you get saved for? So that you could, you know, say Cadillac five times fast in another language? Look in Romans chapter 6. Some guy up there, wish it was a Chevy, but it's a Ford. Wish it was a Chevy, but it's a Ford. Wish it was a Chevy, but it's a Ford. I'm practicing my tongues. Honest to God, man, it's just... Yeah, yeah. Well, you might say some things you regret then that you can understand. Either that or you get some guy up there speaking in Latin. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into water were baptized? It's funny how people, when they read, they can't get those things straight. Nothing there about being baptized in water. You know what people think? You know what the Church of Christ thinks? You get baptized into Jesus Christ by getting baptized into water. They think Jesus Christ is water. That's who they worship. Amen. I was over at the Pensacola Fair one time. We were over there handing out tracts, and they had a booth, one of these booths set up, and it was Church of Christ. And so I said, all right, let me have a little fun here for just a minute. I've been handing out tracts and all that. I want to enjoy myself a little bit, you know. And went in there and they give you one of these tests that's supposed to trick you or something about your Bible knowledge and all, so then they can make you feel about this big and then they can try to convert you to the Church of Christ. Yeah, that's how they do it. And so I took their little test and they couldn't trick me there or anything, and so then I started asking them questions. I says, now you really believe that it takes water to save you? Oh yeah, sure, yeah. I said, now listen, I've been baptized, but I don't think that getting wet is what got what saved me. I think Jesus Christ saved me. I said, have you been baptized into Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah, we got baptized into Jesus Christ when we got baptized in water. I said, now, does it have to be a certain kind of water, like holy water? I mean, is city water okay? Or see, you answer a fool according to his folly. And so I started just going on with that whole thing. I said, is sewer water? How about a septic tank? Would that count? I mean, is there certain specifications? Because, you know, if somebody's getting saved, they're on their deathbed. I want to know what kind of water I can use to try and baptize them in before they die. No, I wasn't a pastor at the time. I was just a Bible school student. No, I wasn't. I did not. No, I didn't. That was not I. I wouldn't have told you that story if it had been me. And I just started to give him a hug. And the one guy, he got up. And it's so funny because there's all these people all around, you know. And he just gets up and beat red face. You're going to hell! You're going to hell! And starts yelling at me. I said, why? Because I haven't gotten baptized in the septic tank? Why am I going to hell? You're going to just, he just kept getting madder and madder and madder. I said, listen, buddy, I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. I'm saved. I got baptized in the Jesus Christ. You put all your trust in that water you want. I'll trust him. And walked away. But they, you know, just, it's just cultic. Scary. But here in Romans 6 and verse 3, he says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ? When you got saved, you were baptized into Jesus Christ. He invited you to himself and you came, right? We're baptized into his death. When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you got into his. It's not a one-way street there, see? You were baptized into Jesus Christ. And when that happened, you were baptized into his death. What is that? You joined him at the cross, where all of your sins have been paid for. Then you're buried with him. And then you're risen again. Say, what's that? That's a baptism. That's what the Holy Spirit did for you when you were saved. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into water. That, no. There's no water in this passage anyway. Why would someone think this is water? I don't see water there anywhere. But see, that's the problem. They have this, it's a fetish or something with water. Every time they see the word baptism, they think water. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism in the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. When you got baptized into Jesus Christ, the Bible said you were planted, you were buried. Now, how would you like it if they had a funeral service for somebody, one of your loved ones, and they took him and they stood him up against a tree and they threw some dirt on his head? Is that how you plant him? Then what's this idea of sprinkling water on someone for baptism? What in the world is that all about? It's supposed to be a burial. How do you bury someone by sprinkling a little water on their head? Now listen, I'll tell you right now, there was somebody on their deathbed, and they just got saved, and they said they wanted to be baptized, and there was no way that I could take them somewhere and submerge them in water. I'd get them wet. I'd throw a glass of water on them or something. I'd go like this over it. I mean, better than nothing in that case. You know what I mean? But because that's not what's going to save them anyway. But that just shows that they're willing to do that and as a method of following the Lord. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the idea is when you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you joined him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's baptism. It's being put under. It's being brought back up. That's what baptism is supposed to be all about. Look there in John chapter 4. And I already mentioned this, but we'll look at the verse. John chapter 4. Verse 1, When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. See? Now you see that thing right there? That little thing and that little parentheses? Do you realize the significance of that little parentheses right there? That little statement being put in? The Holy Spirit wanted to make sure that you understood something. He wanted to make sure you understood that Jesus Christ never baptized one person in water ever. That's not the baptism he came to bring. He came to baptize in the Holy Ghost. And when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, he baptized you into himself. You joined him at the cross. You joined him in his burial. You joined him in his resurrection through the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now that you've been saved, now you can get baptized in water. For the right reason. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is one of these verses E.C. Moore has a problem remembering. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? All right. Who were you baptized into? Christ. Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Now, there's a problem for the Church of Christ. Baptism is necessary for salvation, and Paul is thanking God that he didn't baptize almost anybody there. Isn't that a strange thing to do? Why thank God that you didn't get to baptize a bunch of people if baptism is necessary for salvation and Paul has a great burden to see people saved? Look down in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. All right, so is water baptism part of the gospel? Then is Mark 16 the gospel? No. Is Acts 2:38 the gospel? No. What's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's a death, burial, and resurrection. See? That's the good news. And the good news is when you got saved, you joined Christ in that. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't get baptized in water after you're saved? Well, of course not, because Paul is just telling people that he did baptize some people. Why would he baptize them if it was wrong to get baptized after you get saved? Was Paul sinning when he baptized them? And to see the craziness you get into, verse 16, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. There it is. Can't miss that thing. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And we'll take a break. Acts chapter 8 and verse 34. Here's where Philip leaves a great revival meeting to go and preach to one black man. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? What's he reading? Isaiah 53, where we were just at, right? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What's the answer? And Philip said, of course, this is out of all the new Bibles. Strange thing. Why take this verse out? And Philip said, you understand there is a conspiracy by the God of this world to get everybody back together under Rome. That's the conspiracy. That's what's going on. Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What must you do before you can be baptized? You got to believe. You got to be saved. After you get saved, then you can get baptized. How do you get baptized? You get sprinkled? Of course not. What did he say? A certain water, right? Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. John's in the Jordan River, baptizing in the Jordan River. You know, and you get these old Charlton Heston movies and stuff, and John the Baptist down there in the river with a pitcher in his hand, pouring water on people. Come on, only Hollywood could be that dumb. And people look at that stuff and they believe it. See? Sprinkling is nothing to do with the Bible. That sprinkling now, that's a Babylonian thing, way back Mystery Babylon, all the way through to the Roman Catholic Church. That's what that is, and it's satanic. It has nothing to do with real baptism. Real baptism is submersion. When you got into Jesus Christ, you didn't get into Him by Him sprinkling you with His blood. You got into Him by getting into His blood. All the way in. Amen? Baptized for salvation. All right, let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll pick it up after the service. Brother Henry, if you'd ask the Lord to bless the fellowship and the food, please.